Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
The man and his discipleship. And part of this, what I want to give you today are just really 10 statements that I've experienced and also have developed over the years. I've seen even some of these change and adapt over the years. But we talk about discipleship and understand the privilege we have, and number one, connecting with God and also connecting with other men, and what that looks like in our own lives. I do think it's something we need to look at from a perspective that is biblical in relation to manhood and why that's important. A lot of times we look at the church in itself as a bigger target, so to speak, or the world that we live in as a bigger reach and the need in the world. And I believe Scripture just allows us to get a glimpse even today that we're trying to reach specifically men and disciple men, and that's different than reaching children, different than trying to reach families, it's different than trying to reach, just the people group that we may be trying to go after. So I believe we can leverage manhood, and then really, as we leverage manhood, we can reach men in a more specific and strategic way. So you can see discipleship all the way through God's Word. It is obvious God wants His message, His redemption, to get to the people of the world that He's created. And He uses the body of Christ to do that. He uses the family to do that. He uses men primarily to do that. So I think whenever men actually understand that discipleship has always been around, I believe we'll step in it. It's not a church issue. It's always been a part of God's design is to reach and lead the next generation. And he has a plan for us to see that come alive through the man. So as we look at this in regard to a man's discipleship, number one, you got to think about yourself. Number two, you got to think about those you're responsible for and leading. There's where relationships come in. And then number three, what are we going to do as a family? How are we going to be an impact in the world that we live in? What will we do as a church? How will we work together to do what God's called us to do? And so as we look in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, I just want you to get a good picture of this. Let's really look in verse 8 and see how God used a leader and his perspective based upon his design to see a nation change. The Bible says that Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So you see that it starts obviously with his prepared heart, and God gets a hold of a man as he gets a hold of his heart. And then you see Ezra seeking the law of the Lord, not just to discover what Scripture is or what God wants him to do or know. It's actually to experience it. And then at the same time, the Bible says to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So as we think about the city we live in, God's design is for us to get a hold of His heart, Him to prepare our hearts, and then to do what the Bible says. And then out of that, we are able to actually live a life that gets to the place where we're teaching God's Word and doing God's Word everywhere we get to go. So I think when we understand discipleship as a prepared heart, not only to get my heart clean, but also get my heart to respond, then able to live it out in God's design. So essentially, it's not telling people what to do. Discipleship's not telling people what to do. It's teaching people how to listen to God and then do what He says. Let me say that again. Discipleship is not telling people what to do, okay? We tell people what to do all the time. Discipleship is helping them listen to God, teaching people to listen to God and do what He says. That's where the key is. So I think we sometimes want them to do what we want them to do, but when we really understand what Israel is experiencing is not what Ezra wanted, but what God wanted. Hopefully, Ezra wanted what God wants, right? And so when Ezra is getting his heart prepared to seek the law of the Lord and then to live it himself, well, obviously out of that, it's going to get to other people. So it's not telling people what to do. It's teaching people to listen to God and do what God says. And that's why I think we see that really vividly clear in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And so the statement would be this: nothing has the power to transform the world more than discipling men. Nothing does. Nothing in the world that we live in has the power to transform the world more than discipling men. That means reaching men. That means building relationships with men. That means getting connected with them and their families and watching their lives come alive before God. Robert Coleman wrote this in a book called The Master Plan for Evangelism. I think it's the name of the book. He said, though Jesus did what he could to help the multitudes, he primarily devoted himself to a few men. Rather than the masses, one must decide where he wants his ministry to count. In the momentary applause of popular recognition or the reproduction of his life in a few chosen men who will carry on the work after he is gone. Building disciples is not easy. It requires constant personal attention, much like a father gives to his children. But sometimes we don't see being a father as a connection in terms of discipleship. We disengage from the power of God, and we really walk away from, I think, God's design in terms of just giving constant care, constant shepherding, constant investment in our own children. So if we're not going to do our children that with discipleship, what makes me think we're going to do it outside of our home? And so that's why I believe the Bible teaches us he cannot lead in the church if he cannot even manage or lead his own house. So when we are able to live from God's design, ministering to our wives, ministering to our children, man, the others aren't that difficult. I mean, it's really difficult to lead your wife, and it's really difficult to lead your children. Amen? It's hard. It's not easy. And but at the same time, God's called us to not only do it at the house, but bless God, get it out of the house so it changes the world. That's exactly what happens in Ezra's day. They got it out and it changed the city. They got the city right, changed everything. He and Nehemiah were greatly used of God to bring God's people back to his design. So as we think through 10 of these things, I'm going to just hit them real quick and we'll make some statements through some of these and give some commentary here. But number one, a man is a hard thing to reach. And I said thing for a reason. I mean, who he is today is going to be different 30 minutes. It might be different in 2 hours. He's going to change on you. He's going to be frustrated or he's going to be happy. It's just going to be, you know, he's hard to reach. And so as you understand him and get to know him, you're going to be like, man, what is he thinking? How did he get in this spot? What happened to get him here? So part of it's just understanding he's hard to reach and being able to have patience and courage and confidence is going to go a long way in your ministry to men. The largest unengaged people group living in America today are men, even though they're in our worship services, conferences, and events. They may be in the church. They may be part of the church, but who says we got a hold of them? Who says we are really investing in them? Who says they're really catching what they need to catch? Just because they're there doesn't mean they're right with God. Just because they're coming to the services doesn't mean they're obedient. So part of I think the understanding in this is really recognizing, man, it's going to take some intentional efforts to really understand where every man is, and that's a task in and of itself. So number two, here's something I think I want to really emphasize as well. While the process is simple enough, men themselves are quite complex. And we see the process in several, you know, Deuteronomy 6, 2 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. I mean, we can go through several portions of Scripture and see the, you know, a process laid out, you know, a journey laid out of discipleship. But I think we underestimate really our lack of influence and discipleship and relationship building. That, man, if we don't build into them, they're gonna get into some tough spots and challenges and make decisions that it's going to be hard to overcome without God's help. Amen. I mean, just think about it. Think about the men that you know, the life that maybe they were living and now the life that they have. It's going to require a consistent effort and a longing, compassionate, ministerial heart, a serving heart, a broken heart to really reach men. I mean, I just can't stress that enough. It's going to require brokenness for us to really be what God wants us to be, to serve the men, listen to me, that are broken. And sometimes we get to the place where we're on this hill of pride and we keep them away because of we're here and they're there. To me, that's nowhere near where Jesus is at. I believe Jesus will get right in there with us and get us to ministry ourselves and recognize, man, without the grace of God, I'm going to be in the same situation. And so, man, I just, as I think about men I know, men I love, men I care about, and seeing them excel and also seeing other men running away from the things of God, they were once running with God. I just really want to say this to you. It's complex. And the longer it goes into sin and wickedness and not reconciliation, it's going to continue to get worse. And so that's why I'm saying the process might be simple, but bless God, the people themselves, we ourselves are complex, and we got to understand it from a biblical worldview and a perspective that helps us get in the game, not keep us on the sidelines. And so as we think about 2 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, like we started these weeks, helping us really look at a process. And the process is all we're trying to do is help a man win his relationship with God. That could mean salvation. That also could mean personal revival, so to speak. That's why the first lesson's on revival. Where is he really at? Where am I really at? And so we engage that in his relationship with God. The second thing is helping him in his relationship with his family. And that's where another level of complexity comes in. That's why you deal with his relationship with his dad. That's why you want to connect in his relationship with his wife or his future wife, or maybe his relationship with his own children, his relationship with his siblings. And I'm going to just say some things here in just a few minutes I want to bring clarity to, because I think sometimes if we're not careful, we don't really leverage God's design in ministry, and we miss out on, I think, breakthroughs and power. The other thing is his relationship with the church. And that's why I say just because he's in the church doesn't mean he's walking with God. And we got to really get some time and some effort with one another. And I always try to break it down, man's relationship with God. Where is he with God? How can I minister to him there? Where is he with family? How is he interacting with his wife? How is he interacting with his in-laws, and not outlaws, in-laws? There's relationships for a reason. Amen. God leverages the kingdom of God for a reason, and we ought to be walking in unity and power because God uses that to change the world. And we see families throughout Scripture God used greatly in a powerful way, but we also see families God not use, right? They rebel against God's design and God's power, and they cause the whole family and the whole nation difficulty. And there's got to be a revival that changes all of that. So the family is very important. Then the church is, and then the next opportunity is the church, which I think the strength of the family gives us access and power not only in the church, but through the church as we are families, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth. So I can do this in a city. I think we see that throughout God's Word. I can do this one-on-one with just an individual man. I can do this at the table. How am I ministering to men in their relationship with God? How am I ministering to men in their relationship with their family? How am I ministering to men in the context of their church or the disconnect of the church? And then what can I do to get him moving with God to the ends of the earth? To me, that is God's design we see in 2 Timothy 3 and Titus 1.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.